It's interesting when we talk about the concept of mida keneged mida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his world measure for measure. The Maisa Shehoya regarding a particular Yid who went to a particular Choshev Rov in Eretz Yisrael and told him that he has very strong pains in his feet, in his legs. And he pointed out that he had it checked out by a doctor, and the doctor sent him for x-rays and so on, and he realized that, in fact, that there were some problems, according to diagnosis, regarding something in the bones of this person's legs. So this Yid comes back after a while, and he relates the following incident. So he said that the doctor prescribed the particular regimen and a schedule of what to do in order to get the things back in order, his feet, alleviate the problem, decided, interestingly enough, to take out a Sefer Charedim. The Sefer Charedim is a Sefer by the Mechaber of the Blazer Azakri, who is in the time of the Arizal, going back 4 centuries ago. And the Sefer Charedim is a Sefer al Mitzvahs, but it's not just a Sefer al Mitzvahs, explaining the mitzvahs, but also explains the hashkofe behind the mitzvahs, and so on and so forth, a lot of musar regarding various mitzvahs. And he looked in a particular section in Sefer Charedim where he talks about regarding the obligations, the various chiyuvim that a person has concerning one's feet. In other words, every chalik of a person's body has an obligation and a chiyuv that we serve Hashem with all our remachei borim. You have 248 limbs, basically, if you break it down into all of its sections. And there's a chiyuv to be Yoved Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our hands, with our feet, with our eyes, with all of our senses. They looked up there in the Sefer to see what are the particular chiyuvim that one should utilize his feet for. And the Sefer Charedim there points out that basically, simply enough, says, among many other things, he says, well, one of the things is to use your legs to go to be Mekayim B'Kecholim, go visit people who are sick. Use your legs possibly to go Menachem Aveilim, so you pay Shiva calls. Use your feet, your legs, to be Mesameach Chosen Kala, so you dance at a Chasana, and you be Mesameach V'Chosen, and so on. These are all in Yonam that one is able to be Mekayim with his feet. He decided to take this upon himself, and he started to remember that prior to having problems with his legs, he started going back and reflecting. He realized that he had a good friend who was in a hospital, and he was negligent in being Mevakir Choyle. He did not go to visit him. And so on, he made a couple of cheshbon in his back. He said there was a couple of Nichum Avel and Shiva calls that he should have paid, and the fact that he didn't do it, and so on and so forth. So decided, in spite of all the pain that he has at the present time, he's going to use his feet and try to be in the situation that he felt that he was lax in doing up to now. And therefore, with all of the pain with his feet, with his legs, he goes and he walks, he's Mekayim B'Kecholim, he's Mekayim Nichum Avelim, he goes to Chasanas and he dances with all his might, with all of his koyach. And the Pelad Gizach, wonder of wonders, he says, in a short while, he says, he finds that the pain is beginning to ease without any medical attention. And little by little, it diminished and less until finally he did not need anything at all. Which is an interesting thing that many, many times, and of course we have to do our shtavos b'derech hateva, but many times when we have situations that we're able to read the message of why sometimes we suffer from particular ailments, maybe if we are able to zero into the root of the problem. Again, it's very difficult to diagnose exactly what the sibah might be, but in this particular situation we can see that this person actually went straight mida keneged mida. He saw there was a problem in one of his feet or both of his feet, and therefore he decided to be misakim the various chiyuvim that one thought to mekayim. Why am I mentioning this? Because a very interesting thing, because we're learning Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim of Volozhin, when he married off his son, Reb Yitzchok of Volozhin, the chasana was in a different town, in a different place, which necessitated that they had to travel. They had to travel from Volozhin to this other place, this other city, where the chasana, where the wedding took place. And I guess during the course of travel, they had to stop at particular towns, and it was a particular place that they stopped where there was no Sefer Torah on the day of Kriyas HaTorah for davening. There is one of the Choshe Rabbonim, apparently, who was with them, together with the group, going to that Chasana. So he says to Rabbi Chaim, listen, he had no Sefer Torah, so you can daven without a Sefer Torah, and you're an Einus. Listen, it's not your fault, you're in the situation. So you'll daven now once, and you want to have a Sefer Torah, and you can daven very well, quite well, without a Sefer Torah. Rabbi Chaim was mevatel his own opinion, and he conceded to the opinion of this other Rav. And in fact, this is what the Rav said, so he had the tzak of this Rav, and he davened without a Sefer Torah. Ultimately, when they come back home, back to the Volozhin, Rav Chaim comes back to his house, he finds out Rav Chaim had a private Sefer Torah in one of the rooms. He owned his own Sefer Torah. And it turns out that the Sefer Torah was stolen. Private Sefer Torah that he had, the Sefer Torah was stolen. Rav Chaim did not bother to call the police in order to try to find out who the ganav is, but rather he decided, and he right away, he made the cheshbon that this must be something, a midah keneged midah, measure for measure, because being that he was negligent in the kriyas haTorah that particular day, apparently it would have been possible, I guess, making an extra trip somewhere, you know, to the nearest town. It would have been, you know, maybe somewhat exhausting or something, but he felt that he possibly could have done it, but being that he didn't, he sort of took the easy way out of that particular day, and did not use the Sefer Torah on the day that was supposed to be used. He felt that this was now mentioned in Shemaim, that his own Sefer Torah had been stolen, and therefore what he does is, he says vidui, he does tshuva. And while he's being mispalo and he's saying his vidui, on the fact that he did not lane on that particular day, right in the middle, he barely had managed to say the vidui, finish the vidui, the Sefer Torah is returned. What happened is, the ganav, by the way, a Jewish ganav, and for some reason he changed his mind, and he was chayav charoset, and therefore he decided that he's going to do tshuva, and he's going to return the Sefer Torah. What's interesting thing is, and this is the phenomenal part of the mind, that itself is very interesting. So Chaim, as soon as he does tshuva on the inyan of the kriyas haTorah, the Sefer Torah is returned. Very unusual that a ganav who steals the Sefer Torah, or any ganav, would come and bring back whatever he stole. But ultimately, he opened up the Sefer Torah, and he finds that the Sefer Torah is fully intact, minus, he says, one yiriya, one set of columns, was missing, mysteriously. The chelik of the columns that were missing was the kriyas haTorah of that day that they did not learn. That's a very fascinating thing here. Again, if some people have this yata d'shmaya where Kadosh Baruch Hu shows them directly, they have this chus, they're able to show directly exactly what the situation was, and therefore they realize and they know what they happened in the second. We go now to the Nefesh HaChaim. We are in the middle of Perek Yud Beis. In the general editions that the Yoilim has, it's on Daf Mem. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Beis. V'zeh she'omru razal. V'zeh she'omru razal. In other words, it's called Yisrael Yeshlom Chelik Le'oilom Habo. In other words, just basically briefly to summarize what Reb Chaim, basically the Yisrael that he said before, in the previous paragraphs, Reb Chaim mentioned something very, very fascinating. Reb Chaim basically told us that from the very first moment, from the very first moment that a person merely even just has an idea, when a person just has an idea, a machshava, a fleeting thought that he really wants to do a mitzvah, that does not go to waste. But a machshava to do a mitzvah immediately creates an oir of kedusha. It creates an aura of Kedusha, tremendous celestial light of Kedusha, and that basically goes right up to Shemayim, based upon that machshava, the machshava of mitzvah that he had. And the mele, that air, or that aura of Kedusha, ultimately, full circle, from Shemayim comes down back then, and it envelops the person. It envelops the person, and it personally it surrounds him. It's an aura makif, as Reb Chaim says. And it is that aura which, in fact, which assists the person and gives them the ability now to be going to actually complete the mitzvah. That which started out merely as a machshava is now going to be gained an ability, because through the machshava itself he creates an oir makif. He creates an oir of kedusha that's going to surround him, is going to be wrapped around him. And the middle of that oir of kedusha being enveloped in that atmosphere of kedusha created, by the way, through his machshava, merely machshava having a mitzvah, that now is going to actually give him the ability and the motivation that he should be able to continue and be mekayim the mitzvah fully. So it is merely, so it comes out that the light that is created through his machshava becomes reflected on him, and by being reflected on him, it in turn helps him actually carry out to do the mitzvah. And Reb Chaim basically is going to tell us right now, and Reb Chaim basically, which he's going to now learn pshat in the Mishnah, but Reb Chaim continued to mention before a moment ago, that ultimately, when a person is mekayim the mitzvah, then now all of the tremendous light in the Eiruv Kedusha that he has created through his mitzvah, it goes back to the higher world, and when the person is nifter, leaves this world, that in fact, that is Olam Haba. When we talk about a person leaving this world, that he goes to take and receive his share in Olam Haba, which share in Olam Haba is he getting? Every person, Reb Chaim tells us, creates his own Olam Haba, his own future world. It's not like there is, so to speak, like an auditorium called Olam Haba. There's an area called the future world, and every person takes a seat, whether it's in the front and the back according to what he deserves. There's not a pre-created Olam Haba, and now you come to take your seat, to take your spot. But rather, you create your own Olam Haba with your ma'asim through your action and your deeds. So it means that my Olam Haba has been created by me, and your Olam Haba has been created by you. And the quality of your Olam Haba, the quality and the extent, and how much Kedusha, and how much Tanag, and how much pleasure you're going to be able to take out of it, is based upon your own creation, the quality of your own mitzvahs, and your own ma'asim tovim. That's what Reb Chaim pointed out. That you basically go into the next world, to that world that you yourself have created. So every person creates his own Olam Haba in the world to come, and he prepares his own portion, as we'll see Reb Chaim tells us, and he adds to it through his good ma'asim. As you continue to do more ma'asim tovim, and more ma'asim tovim, so now you broaden it, and you widen that Olam Haba that you have created, and you continuously keep adding to it, and that is really your share to Olam Haba. So this here is reiterated, as we see now, the Zeh Shomer Razal. So Reb Chaim says that this, in fact, this is what our Chachomim, Rabbi Seinu, the Chorin of Brocha, say Mishnah Yisovish, everybody knows this Mishnah. Kol Yisrael, it says, Yeshom Chelik Loilam Haba. That every Yid has a Chelik Loilam Haba. Loi Omru, Reb Chaim is Medayik, Reb Chaim says, it doesn't say, Bo Oilam Haba, in Oilam Haba. It doesn't say every person has a Chelik in Oilam Haba. It says every person has a Chelik, has a part, right, to Oilam Haba. Le Oilam Haba. It doesn't say in Oilam Haba. Because if it would have said or should have said the Olam Haba, had it said with a base that every Yid has a chelik in Olam Haba, it means in the Olam Haba that is already there. There's an Olam Haba, and every Yid has a chelik in Olam Haba. But it doesn't say that. Again, the Loyomru didn't say. They didn't say the Olam Haba, Shemashmoy Hoya, which the Mashmoy would have been Sho Olam Haba Hu Muchen, that the Olam Haba, the future world, is already prepared in the Eis Abriya, from the time of creation. And that is Inyan V'Dov Aleyatzmoy. And that is an independent area called Olam Haba. And if Yitzak Odom, if a person deserves it, Yitnoloy B'Shchorei Chelk Me'enuf. And if you deserve it, you're going to get a chelik of that Olam Haba that has already been created. No. That's not the meaning. It doesn't say that every Yid has a chelik in the Olam Haba that already exists. That's not what it means. Avlo Emes, but the truth is, Sho Olam Haba, you know what Olam Haba is? Hu Maisa Yidei Odom Atzmoy. Olam Haba is the result of your own creation, your own deeds. Shehirchiv v'hoisiv v'hiskin chelik liyatme mamaso. It is man who has created. It is man who has created his Olam Haba through his acts and through his deeds. So thereby he has added to it and he has broadened it through his ma'asim, through his actions. V'kach omar, therefore, Chazal say, the Loshon of Chazal again is, Shekol Yisrael, that every Yid, Yeshlehem, Lechol Echot Chelik HaGedusha, every Yid has a Chelik in the holiness, Vahoiris, and all the lights, the Atzachzochos, the bright light, Shehiskin, Vahoisif, Le'olam, Habo, Memaisa, Vatoivim, all which is a result from his own Maisis. So the Kittus of Chaim again tells us in no uncertain terms that don't think that the world to come came into being at the creation. That's when Akashvoki created the world, so he also created what's called Olam Haba, which is a ready place, waiting for people to arrive there. Chaim says, no. Don't think that the Olam Haba, that the world to come, was already created at the time of creation as a separate entity. But rather, he says, when a person deserves it, a person is upright, then he'll be granted a point. And he says, every person creates his own Olam Haba, and he prepares it, his own chelik, and he adds to it through his ma'isim. So what Reb Chaim comes on to tell us that the opposite is also true. Gehenna. We talk about a person who ultimately, when the time comes and he deserves, due to his iniquities, due to his averus, he also deserves a certain portion of Gehenna. How do we define Gehenna? Now, normally the way we always understood it, and this is the general understanding, there's a place called Gehenna, and Amela in Neshama. Ultimately, when the time comes, if the Psaki Shemaim is that he deserves Gehenna, so they put him to that place called Gehenna, which is a place which already has been created, Mishesim, Eberations, because Rokha created it, and that's what it is, it's a separate entity. Does the B'chaim know that the truth is Gehenna also works by your own creation? In other words, your Averis create your own Gehenna. It's not that there's a general Gehenna, and whoever is supposed to go there will go there. Some people longer, some people less, and so on and so forth. Or there's different degrees, different levels in terms of Gehenna. Rather, the Gehenna is an outgrowth, and it's a consequence directly. You create your own Gehenna. So you actually are the one who fashions and forms your own Gehenna. It's a very interesting thing. The Cheinoinish HaGehenna, he says, in Yomei Gamke, because I want you to know that similarly when it comes to Gehenna, you have to realize that Shachet Atzmoi Hu Onshoi. It means that the sinner's punishment is the sin itself. The Aveira itself becomes his punishment. The Aveira itself becomes his punishment. Kamoi, as is mentioned, Kamoi Shenema, as is mentioned in Mishle, the Pasuk says the following, Avoinoisov Yilchadunu Es Harosha. It says, the Aveira of the Rosha will trap him. In other words, the Aveira traps him. It's not that there's a separate place, so to speak, called Gehenna, but the Aveira itself is what creates his Gehenna. The Aveira itself is that which will trap him. Ubechavle chatosoi yisomech, says the Pasuk. And a person will be suspended in the cord or the string of his own Averis. In other words, the Aveira itself of the person, that is his Oynish. The Pasuk says, Tiyasrech ro'osech, that your evil will afflict you. It's the sin itself which will be the punishment. Kemoshin is by, and the meaning is, as explained, Shekasher Odom Oysa Achas of Mitzvah Hashem. Yet when a person, when he transgresses and he does one of the Averis, Asher Loisa Aseno, that he should not be doing, Hapgam Vahachurban, so he says, the damage to his Neshama, he says, Nirshim Chaz Visholem Tekep Lamala Bishorshoi. First of all, it's instantaneous. Instantaneous, we find that it goes up to the heavenly root, to the Shoirish Nishoma, the Pagam and the damage. And not only that, not only causes damage on the one hand to his Nishoma, it also builds. You know what it builds? It builds the forces of evil on the other side. It destroys and it builds. A person does an Avera, it destroys. It destroys meaning it does damage to his Nishoma, but at the same time it also builds. What does it build? It increases all the forces of evil and all the forces of Tumah. These are all as a result of his actions. That's the lotion of the Pasuk. Imolo hachrovo. The Pasuk in Yecheskel. Imolo hachrovo. From the destruction, there's also imolo. There's also what becomes filled. Explains Reb Chaim. Hu mekayim umagbir, he says, koiches v'chayole hatume v'aklipois. It is through his aveira. It is through his aveira. He increases legions of tume. He increases legions of tume. He says, "Harachmon Yisborach Shema Yatzelenu," should save us and spare us from all of that. So the male again. So the einish again of a person is a direct outgrowth of his aveira itself. It's not that separate einish, but the aveira itself creates all of his einishin, as we'll point out. Umisham, as it goes further, due to the aveira that the person has done, when committing an aveira, says Reb Chaim, when committing an aveira, namshes gamalat moy ruach hatume. So now also, in addition to all of the damage that is done in the upper world and to the root of the neshama, he also basically, he's mamshech on himself. The sinner draws upon himself a ruach of tumah shemalafefosoi be'eis asiyas oboi. He becomes wrapped around the ruach of tumah. He becomes wrapped around with the ruach of tumah bishat when he does the aveira, except v'achar asoysoi, but once when he finishes doing that aveira, Haruach Tumah Mistalek L'Mikoymoy. The Ruach Tumah goes up to its place. The Ruach Tumah goes up to its place where the Hu Bechayo Begehenna Mamish, he says, Hamakifo Beit Asiyas Achet. Reb Chaim says something phenomenal. The truth is when a person does an Aveira and he's wrapped around with the spirit of Tumah, However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in such a way that he does not experience it until after he dies. But the truth is, b'shas when a person does an aveira, he actually is where? He's in Gehenna mamish. The ruach of tuma that he creates through his aveira, that's actually a metzius of Gehenna. And Reb Chaim says, v'ubechayov v'gehenna mamish. When he does the aveira, while he's still alive, person thinks of being Gehenna after he's gone. The truth is, Reb Chaim says he's Gehenna right now while he's alive, while he's doing the aveira. The Gehenna experiences while he's doing the aveira. The eighth asiyas achet, rak she'ein amargish, except he does not feel it. Adayin adacha pitirosoy. He does not feel it until after he's gone. Shenil kados, because after he's gone, then he will be trapped in that snare that he has created through his avera. Shenil kados, then he'll be trapped. Bereshes asher hechem, in the snare that he has, in fact, that he has prepared. And that is, what is the snare? Hein koiches atuma v'amazikim, shenivru b'masov. And those are, as mentioned, those are all of the forces of the impure spirits and all of the various demons that he created with his wrongdoing. So just an interesting thing, if you follow the Lashon of Reb Chaim, and you pay attention to see how he words Reb Chaim, you notice that one interesting thing, that as far as being enwrapped with the spirit of Tuma, Reb Chaim says the Lashon that only while you're doing the Aveira. And we say, we thank the Rabbi Nishlon for that. As Reb Chaim says, it's while he's doing the Aveira, his mamshech alatzmoy ruach atuma shemalaf afosoy, which wraps him around. And he says he's at that time, for that moment, while he's oisik, while he's doing the Aveira, he is bechayov mamish, he says. He's really begehenna mamish. But that gehenna experience is while he's doing the Aveira. However, once that gehenna that he created, when he finishes the Aveira, he's no longer in that Gehenna, but ultimately, if he does not do tshuva, his neshama, when he leaves this world, will go into that Gehenna. Will go into that Gehenna, because the spirit of Gehenna that he had created leaves after he does the Aveira, goes back to Limkoyma, goes back to its place, and his neshama will meet it out there. The neshama, that's where the neshama is going to find himself. But the interesting thing is that when he stops doing the Aveira, so at least on this world, when he's in this world, then the Ruach HaTuma leaves him. Which we see the tremendous contrast, the toiva, for our benefit. When you do a mitzvah, it's not like that. The mitzvah, on the positive side, when you do a mitzvah, Reb Chaim pointed out above in this perek, that from the moment that a person has the machshavah to do a mitzvah, immediately Reb Chaim said, it creates a roshim, it creates a mark in shemayim, and right away it comes around, it wraps around him. And that's even before he did anything, only had a machshavah alone. So we see that the roshim, the after effect of the mitzvah, lasts and is durable forever, unlike the ruach hatuma on the negative side. Ruach hatuma, which Baruch Hashem, this is the way Baruch Shalom gave it, that we shouldn't have to experience ruach hatuma more and more than we really would have to. So once when we finish doing the aveira, so then the ruach hatuma leaves us for now, whereas doing a mitzvah, the oir hamakif, he says, the oir and the roshim of kedusha, that remains with us. Point of Abba Chaim. Now, another nekuda as we see over here as well, as Reb Chaim goes on to say, that v'zehu shomer razal. This helps us really understand what our chachomim have said, Gemara in Erevin. Gemara in Erevin says that rishoyim mamikim lohem gehenim. The lashon in Masechtas Erevin, as far as rishoyim are concerned, the gehenim is made deep for them. Now, gehenim is made deep for the evildoers. So Reb Chaim says, you know what it means that Gehenim is made deep for Rishoyim? What does it mean that Gehenim is made deep for Rishoyim? Reb Chaim is telling us it means that with their Averas, they dig their own Gehenim. That's Reb Chaim's interpretation. Let's take a look. Ritzoyin Eloimer, what does it mean that Gehenim is made deep for Rishoyim? What does it mean? Ritzoyin Eloimer, Shehein Atzma, that they themselves, Hamamikim Latzma Megehenim, they themselves with their Averas, they are digging their own Gehenim. Umachivim Oisoy, and they broaden it. And they stoke its fires. He said, "Bechatoeim through the averus." Ukemoi shekosu. Then, as it says, the pasuk says in Yeshaya. Pasuk Yeshaya says as follows. And again, Reb Chaim wants to use that as a riot that you, with your own avera, are creating your own gehenna. You are deepening your gehenna according to the extent of your avera. And the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Hein kulchem koidchei esh." All of you are igniters of fire. In other words, all of you, you're igniting the fire. In other words, who lights the fire of Gehenna? You! You yourself are the igniters of the fire. And the Pasuk says, Lechu be'er eshchem, go in the flame of your fire. U'bezikis, it says, be'artem, and in the sparks that you have lit. Why is this so? Mi'yodi hoishas oishlachem. It's from my hands, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that this gezerah came upon you. This is the way the disciplines of the world works. This is the koyach of your ma'isim. These are the koyach of your action. You create your own olam haba, and as your aveira on the other side, create your own gehenna. And that's what the Navi is saying, that you are the igniters of fire. The fires of gehenna are ignited, self-lit personally, by the person himself, who, again, who did this particular act, and did the particular aveira. So, as we go further, and we find, lochein, therefore it says, kishitofsa anche kinesis agdoilo, and maybe just, it's kedai just maybe to mention, but in fact it's similar to what Reb Chaim is saying over here. You know, Reb Chaim, of course, was one of the greatest, and certainly one of the most faithful, or the most faithful Talmud of the Goyim. That was whole Reb Chaim's identity, as being the Talmud of the Vilna Goyim. So the Vilna Goyim, as a matter of fact, in Mishle, talks about the fear of the Rosha. Talks about the fear of the Rosha and about the desire of the Tzaddik. Meguras Rosha hi tevoyenu, the pavet tzaddikim yiten. I'm speaking this out. And the Goyim says the following. The Goyim says, I'm just quoting the Rosha of the Goyim in Mishle. The Goyim is the Mishle in Perik Yud. Perik Yud Potech of Dalet. The Goyim says, Hapachat shel Rosha hi. You know what the Rosha is afraid of? Hapachat shel Rosha hi hu aveira. The Rosha ultimately is afraid of the aveira. Why? Why is the Rosh afraid of Aver Shebi Yodoy? Now look what the Kohen says. Ki Aver Atzmo Oysed Din Barosha. Very fascinating. So in other words, it's the sin itself that actually brings the judgment upon the person. Ki Aver Atzmo Oysed Din. So this basically, again, this is similar in a certain sense as Reb Chaim tells us over here. You yourself create your own Gehenna. You yourself create your own Oynish. It is your ma'isim. And that is, again, which the Goyim sort of basically concurs by telling us that in fact is the fear of the Rosha, who ultimately will be shown that this, in fact, these are the product of his ma'isim. He himself has created his own judgment. His avera himself, the avera itself is oisa din the Rosha. And it's just interesting to say that we know that the Nesivis, very famous Nesivis, Tzachosha and the Nesivis, wrote a number of different perushim as well. Regarding, there's a perush Achumish called Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, and there's also Megillas Eichon on Megillas Esther. On Megillas Eichon, it's called Palgei Moyim from the Nesivis. And the Nesivis says in the Posik there, there's the Nesivis, Mipi El Yoin Loiteitza Haro'ois. The Posik says, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no bad comes out. Mipi El Yoin Loiteitza Haro'ois. The Posik in Eichon. So the Nesivis says, Pshat, you know what it means? He says, "Ki gam ho'oynish hora ein bo meitoy does not come from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, el ho'odom ho'ovoin atzmo yoise." It's a very interesting concept. Mit the elyon loyteitza horois, all of the ra and all of the punishment does not come mit the elyon. So who does it come from? There is oynish. The oynish is created by man himself. Of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made that discipline, that order. But l'maisa, the way it works is that man, through his avera alone, he creates his own oynish and he creates his own gehenna. So now Reb Chaim continues on and tells us further. Lochein, as a result, kishitofsu anche kinesis agdoilo la yetzer hara, we find that there's a whole discussion that the Gemara tells us that there was a tkufa mesiyemes, that there was a particular tkufa that the anche kinesis agdoilo, that the great chachomim, that they decided for a while to suspend the yetzer hara. No person should have a yetzer hara. It started out, first of all, to be mevatel the yetzer hara against avodah zarah. It used to be in ancient times, it was very common for even intelligent people to worship idols. Even though today, by our standards, it doesn't make any sense. Take a piece of stone, take a statue, and start worshiping it, and bowing down to it, and start sacrificing to it. By our cycle, today, it does not make any sense. And yet, in ancient times, and they were not all stupid people. There was a particular Yetzer Hara. There was a Yetzer Hara called Yitzhar Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara tells us the Yanchi Knesset, the great people came to Mabatul, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara says, while they were with it, they figured, you know, let's be mevatel all the other Yetzirahs also. What about the Yetzirah of Arayas? The person shouldn't have a tithe, right, to immoral behavior. But the point is, what happened is, they realized that the chickens did not lay any eggs, because, right, they didn't mate with their mates, and so on and so forth. So obviously, there is a discipline, there's an order in the world, that restored it again. But Reb Chaim tells us, for that moment, for that short period, that the Yetzirah was suspended, look what he says. So for that particular time, when the Anti Knesset Gedol actually came and they suspended the Eitz Hara, Nirbe Oz Gama Gehenna Me'atzmoi. He quotes the Zohar that the Gehenna also extinguished. And that's a very interesting thing. The existence of Gehenna runs hand in hand with the Eitz Hara. If there's no Eitz Hara in the world, there's no Gehenna. In other words, again, to reiterate, it's going to explain again, Gehenna is not a separate entity. You know, if you deserve, you go there. If not, not. But the Gehenna is there. No, the Gehenna is not a separate entity. The Gehenna is a result of your actions. You create your own Gehenna. If you didn't create it, you don't have it. You don't have it. Everybody has, so to speak, their own Gehenna. So, and Gehenna is a result of your actions. If there's no Yetzer Hara, so therefore you don't have those actions that are going to create a Gehenna. So therefore, at the time when the Chachomim, the Anshei Knesset Gedol, had removed Yetzer Hara, so the Gehenna also, so to speak, was extinguished, as he points out from the Zohar HaKadosh. He points out the Zohar HaKadosh, and we go straight, you know, where he has the translation, go where after the wording of the Zohar HaKadosh, we have it in brackets in the bottom, right underneath. He says, V'oifim, the quote of the Zohar HaKadosh is, Sh'rishoyim machamim matmon v'esha yitzahara. In other words, the Rishoyim actually, they so to speak, like they burn, as you say, you're burning Gehenna. They burn in the heat of the Yitzahara. The Yitzahara becomes their Gehenna. The Yitzahara becomes the Gehenna that they have created. The Chamim is the heat, the passion that they utilize in the Avera, that translates in becoming the Eish of Gehenna. The Chol Chimum V'Chimum, every time that the heat of their passion is in business, that heat of the passion will translate into heat of the Eish of Gehenna. Kach Boyer, so burns the Eish of Gehenna. So he says, so the Zohar says, Pamachas L'Nimtze Yitzahara B'Yolam. So once at a particular time, the Yitzahara did not exist because, as we mentioned, he tried temporarily to suspend the Yitzahara. So the Chalei says, Mam. So throughout that period, says the Zohar HaKadosh, he's called the Eisha Gehenna and Leboi HaKlal, and so to speak. So now Reb Chaim goes, let's go further, not the next paragraph, further. Zehu Shema HaKosim. So Meli says, that's the Posek in Iyev. We started out a few weeks back still, where Reb Chaim started out trying to explain a Posek in Iyev. The Posek in Iyev says, Ki poyal odom yishalem loy. It says, man's actions will pay him. Now that's not the normal way. It's not the action that pays you. You do an action, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you schar. Isn't that the way it works? You work for someone, right? You work for someone, and the boss, he pays you. But the Posek in Iyev doesn't say that. The Posek doesn't say that you will be rewarded from outside. The Posek says, Ki poyal, that your actual deed, Ki poyal odom yishalem loy, sha'peula atzmo. The idea is that the peula itself, the act itself, hatoivehi imroch hazvisholam. You'll get paid accordingly. If it's good, good. If it's bad, bad. But it's the act itself that creates either your Gan Eden, and it's the act itself that can create the opposite. He atzmo hatashlumen shaloi kenal. That mamish becomes his tashlumen. And v'yayin zoyer, and he brings the zoyer again, in Parshas Korach, v'zehu shomru be'odois, and the Rambam Chaim says that's what it means in Masechta Sotah. The shchar mitzvah mitzvah, with shchar avera avera. He interprets this to mean, shchar mitzvah mitzvah means, the shchar of the mitzvah is mitzvah through the mitzvah itself. The shchar of the mitzvah is through the mitzvah itself. It's your mitzvah that actually creates your shchar, and the shchar avera, that's avera. It means to say that it's the avera that creates your shchar. He's, of course, in the negative way. The yoinish, which is actually a result of your actual avera. And the Zer Shekosov, and again, Reb Chaim brings very many rayas, all kinds of different rayas. That's also Reb Chaim writes to say this is the intent of the Posek in Gehelis, where it says, Ki es kol maase, that all maase, whatever a person does, it says, Yovi Bamishpot will be brought to judgment. So Reb Chaim learns pshat, according to what we're saying, Reb Soloimer, HaMaita Atzma, it's the deed itself, right? It's the deed itself, Yovi Bamishpot, is the deed itself which actually will bring forth the judgment. Because that deed makes its roshim, and everything is automatically written up, and it creates all of the negativity, which means that each deed, which is good or bad, it carries within itself the seeds of its reward or punishment. So the seeds of reward or punishment, is being carried in the deed itself. For good, good, and for the other way, it's the other way, because in the opposite direction. And therefore, finally, Reb Chaim goes on to say, and because he asks the kashyas, we're going to soon see, because the question is, V'lechein Omru Razal, that this will help us understand when the Gemara says in Bavli Kama, the Gemara says the following. It says, Kolohim Ra'kodesh Baruch Hu Vatrenu. There's some people who walk around with a notion, you know, after 60, 70, 80 years, they say to themselves, listen, I had a history, a good part of my life, I probably didn't do the right thing, but you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to forget about it. A good chelik of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to forget about it, and just is just going to let me go on without that being accounted for. So the Gemara says, whoever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a batron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just forgoes for nothing, Yevatru Chayov. In other words, if you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes hefker, your whole life will be the punishment of that hashkafa is your life will be a life of hefker. You won't have any shmira. The chenu be shalmi per chamishi dishkolim. It's brought down again in Tanchuma Parshas Ksiso b'Shor Katoiv. Chaim says, I don't understand. L'chayr b'yifla. L'chayr b'chaim says it's a pelo de gezach. Halayafila odo mishcheset misnaheg b'mitzvah v'atronus. We know that even a human being, he's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a human being who is limited in how much chesed you can have. You're a human being. A human being is limited in any area. And yet we find that people are able to be moichel. Someone right, may owe you something. You know what? You realize that the guy can't pay or whatever the situation is. You are capable of sometimes being moichel. A part of it, sometimes all of it. Depends what the amounts are, how much you can afford. But it's not uncommon for even a human being who is an ish chesed to be mevater. So why is it not shy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mevater? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kuloi kuloi chesed, kuloi toiv, the ultimate in chesed, the ultimate in toiv. Why is it not shy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mevater? That's what the Rebbe Chaim would like to explain. Why is this such a posel hashkofe that whoever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a batron, that he forgoes, that it's a terrible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mevater. Even a human being, if he's an ish chesed, we find he is mevater. He has the middle of atronus. He forgoes. So why is it so hard to say? Why can't we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also be mevater? To Rebbe Chaim, this is all based upon the thought and the idea that we have just developed. Om Nom, he says, Hu Kemoshe Kesav Neliel. Rebbe Chaim basically again is telling us that adversity, which means adversity is not inflicted as a punishment or revenge. In other words, when a person suffers Oinshim or Yisurim, that's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends it upon him. It's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends it upon him as simply some punishment or revenge. That's not what it is. She'einu al derech ha'oinish unekimo chad v'sholem. Rak chatoyim teradeif ro. Again, by the way, this is another pasuk which reiterates, it's the avera itself. She'achet atzmo hu oncho. In other words, this is the nature of the avera. The avera itself, the sin itself becomes its punishment. Kimeheis ha'briya, this was part of the discipline the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Kimeheis ha'briya ha'kova hu yizborach shemoi kol sidrei hanhoga hoi lomois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the time of creation, he designed the order of creation in a way that whatever, again, well, how did he design it? He designed it that shiyu tluyim, that everything in the upper worlds should be determined kifi his iris mait odom. As Reb Chaim said many, many times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misader. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the order of creation that whatever happens in the higher worlds is determined by the actions of man, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad, hatoivim v'mroim chazeshonim. Shekol ma'isov v'nyonov, everything that man does, his actions are automatically recorded. In yonov, nirshomim eleyev. Automatically it's recorded. Kol echot v'mekoyroi v'shorshoi. Everything is recorded in its proper source, where it belongs, in shomayim and in its roots. And therefore, v'hu muchrech lekabel dinoi. Therefore, he is forced to accept the consequences. Al yedei oisin koiches atumah, to those forces of evil, Shehigbir b'maisov, that he himself brought about. So it's not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say, okay, I'm not going to bring it. You brought it upon yourself. It's like a person, listen to the fire burning. So you go and you stick your hand into the fire, and you don't want the fire to burn you. What do you mean? You stuck your hand into the fire. Your avera is your punishment. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the punishment that is a separate entity, or the Gehenna is a separate entity from your avera. That maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know what, I'm being mevater, I'm going to forgo, I'm not going to put you in Gehenna. It's not me putting you in Gehenna, you put yourself into Gehenna. There's nothing for me to be mevater on you. It's not up to me to be mevater, you yourself put yourself there. You yourself created a pit and you jumped in. That's what I'm supposed to do. You created the pit and you're jumping into it. That's the direct action, that's the direct cause of your actions. He says, these are the koiches atumah that are going after you, Shehigbir b'masov, that you yourself have created through your ma'isim, tvi erech v'nyin apgam, the extent of the punishment, the extent of the legions of impurities are created according to the quality, to the quantity of your avera, to the extent of your Avera, to the extent of the damage by your Avera. Now, what happens? It's also part of the discipline that once the Avera, so to speak, once the Avera, which created the punishment through the Avera itself, once the person is afflicted, automatically the Avera and the tumor disappears. That's part of the order. He says that all the imperfection that was inflicted in the higher worlds on his neshama and so on is repaired either through punishment or through tshuva. You can do tshuva, then of course, tshuva is an automatically wipe or clean. That takes care of the slate to wipe it clean completely. A person becomes newly born through tshuva. Or they koyach ha-tshuva shemagat. The koyach of tshuva reaches all the way to the roots, and repairs all the damage done to the roots in shemayim shemagat. It reaches all the way at shorish ha-elyon. It reaches up to the higher shorishes, which is called an olam ha-tshuva. There's a world called the olam ha-tshuva. If you're able to reach, you're able to take some transportation, go to that olam ha-tshuva, that's the perfect world. Your neshama can be directed to that world. When you are connected to the olam ha-tshuva, it's like it's a different world. There's a world called the olam ha-tshuva. The person is tshuva, he's transported, his neshama is transported to that olam ha-tshuva. That's the world of total freedom. It's alma dechiru. It's the world of freedom. Unehiru dekula. It's completely light. It's illuminated. It's full of oir. It's only oir. It's kuloi oir. It's kuloi cheiris. And mishom, and he says it is from there, from that olam ha-tshuva. Once a person is oich, if he does tshuva, misatzel v'nishpa toisvis kiddush al yoino v'oir mavik, and amela through the tremendous forces of kiddusha that come out, and the tremendous light, the tremendous bright light of kiddusha that emanates from the world of tshuva, wipes out all of the tumah that was created from the previous avera. In other words, it becomes overpowered the tremendous light of kiddusha. This is merely overpowers and causes the tumah to disintegrate. Lehosem ulechalois kol tumah lesakin oilamois, and therefore to repair this oil of kiddusha that comes out of the oilam ha-tshuva will prepare. This has the healing effect to prepare all of the destruction of the upper worlds kimikedem, and not only that, will be yisroin or chodosh oilam ha-tshuva. It will even add more light than there was before the avera. Lezois before. So being everything is a direct cause of your own actions. Ein shayach v'atronos b'zeh. It's not shayach to forego. Because it's not shayach for forego, because whatever happens, you yourself did it, and you yourself are placing yourself into that position. So it's nothing for a kodesh b'ruch to forego unless you yourself do what you have to do. So either you're going to suffer the affliction as a result of your own actions that you created, which ultimately that suffering itself will remove all the forces of tumah and everything, the damage that was created. Better still, do tshuva. Do tshuva, then you are transported to the olam ha-tshuva. All of the oiris of Kedusha from that world will overflow and drown out any inyonim of tumah that was previously created. And not only that, he says, but more light of Kedusha will come out for the olam ha-tshuva. That in fact, that all of the worlds that you damaged through your aveira will now become even higher through your tshuva. Zeu she'omru ba'ovois, v'chol ma'asecho b'sefer nechtodin, meaning, Chazal are telling us, when they say that all your deeds are recorded in a book, you know what it means? All your deeds are recorded in a book. It means they are inscribed by the deeds themselves. Again, the deeds themselves, they will be witnessed against you. They will create the oinish. They will create the schar. It's all a direct of your own ma'isim. You are the creator of your own Gan Eden. You are the creator of one's own Gehenna. This is the way the order. This is the way it follows. So I just want to tell you something before we go to the sheet to take a look at a few fascinating items. And that is, we see here from Reb Chaim, he says, through tshuva, not only tshuva serves as a tikkun to repair the path that you damaged, but Reb Chaim says that through doing tshuva, the yisroin oir chodosh moilam ha-tshuva, you will be zoiche, in fact, you will be zoiche to cause additional extra light in oir chodosh coming from the world of tshuva that did not exist before the chet. So again, as we've shown many, many times, what Reb Chaim says, you find in the words of the Goyim. The Goyim says, the Gevaldik Pshat, the tremendous Pshat, who stay in the davening. Stay in the davening every day. And by the way, this Goyim is in Shir HaShirim, Perik Aleph Posuk Tezayim. We say, Ahava Rabba Haftonu. A Yid expresses himself, the great love, the tremendous love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to each and every Yid. We say, Ahava Rabba Haftonu. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have loved us ahava rabba, a tremendous ahava, a great ahava. And we continue to say, chemlo gedoyla, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a great rachmonis. Chemlo means a rachmonis, pity. Kodesh Baruch Hu has pity on each and every person. Chemlo gedoyla, but it says v'yaseira. Chemlo gedoyla, v'yaseira. You see, there are two descriptions. Chemlo gedoyla, a very great rachmonis you have, v'yaseira, and an extra rachmonis. What does it mean, an extra rachmonis? Chemlo gedoyla, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a lot of rachmonis. Chemlo gedoyla. Chemlo gedoyla, v'yaseira chomalto aleinu. An extra chemlo, says the Goyin as follows, Pirish. This is what the Goyin says. Quote the Losh of the Goyin. The Goyin says, the Tchila, because in the beginning, B'yimei Yovois. The beginning is the time of the Yovois. And when we went out of Mitzrayim, Hoya Ahavoscha Rabo Aleinu. There's no question, before we sinned, before the Chet Oegel, time of the Yovois, coming out of Mitzrayim, because Baruch Hu had a tremendous love for us. Tremendous love. Ultimately, what happened? We were not faithful to that love, and we were chayte the chayte ha'egel. As a result of being chayte the chayte ha'egel, all of a sudden, that love seemed to turn around, right? Seemed to turn around 360 degrees in the opposite direction, right? All the way in the opposite direction, to the point that Kodesh Baruch Hu said for a moment, at least the idea was toyed, achala oisam karoge, I will destroy them. I will destroy them. What happened afterwards? Moshe Rabbeinu interceded. You see, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. What was now the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael after the Chet Oegel, after they were forgiven? It says the Goyim, the Achakach after the Chet Oegel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Salach to Lavaneinu, right, Kirabhu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, forgave them, Chomalto Oleinu v'Salach to Lavaneinu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonis. They both had Rachmanis and he forgave our Averis. Because Chemla, the terminology says they're going Chemla, the word Chemla, having pity, pity is necessary where there is a cause not to have pity. And I have to have pity on you. It means that there should be, if not for pity, there's a reason that the situation should be very bad. So the going says, yes, Chemla is after Kas. Chemla is the antidote to Kas. If there's a matzah where Kishbok is angry, or anybody's angry, so what's the matzah after Kas in order not to act on the Kas? What you need is Chemla. Chemlo is to be mevatel the kas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Yidin were chayte be'egel, so chemlo gedoylo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chemlo. Chemlo is after the kas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at first had kas from the chetu egel, and then chemlo gedoylo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmonis. Says the goyin, and what did it say after that? Chemlo gedoylo v'yaseira. Says the goyin, moir di gizach. Says the goyin, you know what it means. The goyin says v'yaseira pirish shehishpato aleinu, you are mashpi on us. That actually you showered us oid yoyser toiva mi bereshoina. V'yaseira. In other words, after the chait, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed even more pity to us by yaseira, by granting us more ashpoyes, by showering upon us more and a greater relationship than even we had before the chait. That is a tremendous thing. So the chat chemla gedoyla v'yaseira. That prior to the chait, as close as we were to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but after the chait, we were able to come back, and when we came back, we just didn't come back. But we were able to come back and even enjoy an even closer relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on us more after the chait Oegel, as he says, because in the beginning he gave us the luchas. Okay, luchas were broken. Fine. But you know what came after that? After that, what came was we had a second luchas. And that also allows us HaMishkan. Mishkan means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish dwelling amongst us. That's what the Mishkan is. We didn't have a Mishkan before. Now, the Sporno and others have a totally different halach. The Sporno and other Doyle Mefarshim from the Kadmonim, Velerim Pshat, that the reason before the Chet Oegel we didn't have a Mishkan is not a negative thing. We didn't need a Mishkan. Because before the Chet Oegel we had Ashroyas Ashkina without having a Mishkan, a place, in order that we have to actually concentrate that the Shkina comes down to Avka over here. But rather, B'chol Mokam Asher Atzker Shemi Ovelecho Be'achticho. So says the Sporno in Parashat Shemini. As a matter of fact, the Sporno says in Parashat Shemini, when the Torah gives us all the halachas of the Macholos Asuras, all this, of course, is after the Chet Oegel and so on. The Sporno suggests so far that before the Chet Oegel, we were so spiritually strong that our neshamis could tolerate even Macholos Asuras. We would not have been damaged spiritually because the kedusha of our neshamis was so strong that we wouldn't be affected. It's like certain people who are very, very healthy. Sometimes they ingest food that's not so healthy, but if they're very, very healthy, their bodies can take it. and overcome all the negativity. If a person has a weak constitution, he's not physically healthy, they put in food, put in stuff that's wrong, or even poison, they put in something, it'll destroy him. But a person, the stronger he is in his health, many times it'll be able to overcome all the negative foods or items that he ingests. Same thing is with the nisham also. Macholas asuris causes damage, you know, to matam tamleiv and all of these things, all the negative things that comes along with macholas asuris. It's damaging to the neshama. The neshama can't take it. Sparnu says, prior to the chetuegel, we were so highly spiritually charged, we were so full of kedusha, we're able to take it all. Wouldn't be a problem. And we didn't need a mishkan. We were the mishkan. We were the mishkan. We're living mishkan. Every year was a mishkan. But the goyim doesn't look at it this way, at least in this particular goyim. What the goyim says is, what we see is that after chetuegel, we enjoyed more than before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mishkan, so mamash, we should be able to have the presence of Hashem right here amongst us. So that's Hemla Gedoyla B'Yetzeira. Oh, but by the way, but that in fact very much, that very much concurs with what Reb Chaim says in Nefesh HaChaim, that once a person taps into the Olam HaTshuva, if he does tshuva, not only does he bring out the spiritual light from the Olam HaTshuva to repair all the damage that was done by the previous Aveira, but he even once the door is open, so to speak, he's able to bring out even more light in order to elevate those worlds even higher and to enjoy even greater Oyre Shel Kedusha, even though they had before. That's the Chomalto Aleinu, that's the Chemla Gedoyla V'Yaseira, as he says. Yisroin Orchodosh Moila Machuva, more than there was, as he says, from before. So that gives, again, the great idea, the tremendous, tremendous effects that a person has in his life, on the upper worlds, and how far-reaching his Maisim are, and how much he's able to repair, and he's able to be Misakim. Rabbi, so let's take a look at the sheet a little bit for the few minutes we have left. I'm not very optimistic how far we'll go. But let's take a look to see. I think what we'll look at is here, we'll start with the second item. We have to save time here. We'll take a look at the second item, and this is from the Lev Eliyahu, the Rabbi Lapian in Parshas Togus. The Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian brings down in Parshas Togus, he brings down, Novi Ma, Chagoyin of Chaim, Evolution Zal, Talmud HaGrozal. He quotes what Reb Chaim Volozhiner, "Koyse b'hakdomus l'safra d'tzniyusa." In other words, in the Hakdom of Safra d'tzniyusa, he writes in the Hakdom, that's the Goyin, right, who wrote the Sefer, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes as a Talmud of the Goyin, and he writes in the Hakdom, and he writes as follows. He writes a lot about the Goyin, and he says like this: "Yedu'esh Rabbeinu Hakodesh." He referred to the Goyim. When he referred to the Goyim, he called him Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Kach Koyre Hagrach LaHagrozal. This is how he referred to the Goyim. Reb Chaim, when he spoke about the Goyim, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Hoy Eloi Geluim, says the Goyim had revelations. It's like a Novi. The Goyim had revelations. The Ein Yidua in Behoki Sebachloim. Reb Chaim says, who is to know whether he saw it in a dream or he saw it wide awake? Wide awake. The Goyim. Shaykh the Goyim had this chus. In his high madrega to have revelations, even Bahokis. But who knows, he says. Not sure whether it was Bahokis or Bachloim. The Goyin would conceal all of his madregas, and the Mele would not able to tell and to know exactly when he saw those revelations, when he had them. And he points out, the histid for a Mele, he would hide it. But sometimes he would express some of these things, the emsa sicha, in the middle of a talk. In the middle of the conversation, the Goyim sort of like would blurt out some of the experiences that he had. The noidu kitzoson, therefore a little bit, we are able to know, says Reb Chaim. A little bit of the madregas of the Goyim, because casually speaking sometimes, he would blurt out and let in on some of his great madregas. So he says as follows, Virupam, once happened, shohi medabrim minyan linyan, v'toich hadvarim sipra, as he was talking about various situations, to v'toich hadvarim, he mentioned, he related the following story. There was in Vilna somebody, he seemed to be a Novi. Like he had these Balam and Kabbalim coming along, he had each one. Yeah. So Mela, this particular person comes down to Vilna, and all of a sudden he shows the ability he can reveal all hidden things. Person comes to Vilna. Nobody knew who he was. This man claimed to have the ability, not he claimed, seemed he did have the ability. He had the ability to know what people did in the privacy when no one was there. No one was there except you yourself. What you did, b'chadah, all your day, and he would tell you. Tremendous Baal Madrega. So he said he was able to tell you, ad kedei kach, so far, sh'anoshim hoyim mefagdim lahari b'fonov. People were afraid to appear in front of him. Why? because he'll be able to know your thoughts, he'll be able to know what you did, and all of your things, your whole hanoge, people say, this man is able to read your mind. Who wants to stand in front of a person can read your mind. So people in Amish afraid, Lahari is the phone of Shem, Yigal, and Mr. Shalom. He'll be able to reveal all the hidden actions. They're maisim. So they hevi oisel Rabbeinu Hadro. So they brought this Baal Madrega, they brought him to the goyim. Om Aloy. So the man wanted to show his powers to the goyim. So he said to the Vilna goyim, he says, immediately Rabbeinu Rishus, says if Rabbeinu, he says, if you, Rebbe, if you give me Rishus, this Baal Makubal, let's call him, he says to the goyim, I'll be able to tell you, I'll tell you the drosha that you gave 2 weeks ago. It's not like today, I guess, if there was telephone call that people were able to tell him or tape it or something like that. But this would have been a big mitzvah to be able to know, not being there, to know what the goyim dashed 2 weeks ago. And the notan rishus, and the goyim gave him rishus, and the omar, and he opened his mouth and he said, ki b'sho plonis, he even said what time. He said, in this particular time, Yoshev Rabbeinu al Mokonzeh, you sat on this particular spot, she Yoshev Keit, that you're sitting now, the Lomar, you were learning Parshas Hazinu. He told them exactly at the time and the place that he was learning, right? A while back, he was learning Parshas Hazinu. Then his Galiloi, and you, the Goyin, this man was telling the Goyin that he knew that the Goyin had revelations of Soydus Amukimoi, very deep secrets of Torah that were revealed to the Goyin in the Shemayim. And this person was saying to the Goyin, he was saying this all to the Goyin like he knew. He knew that the Goyin had all of these revelations, this particular date, particular time, particular motim, particular sedra. And he also said, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Yosha b'Yiminoi, listen to this. And the Baal Makubal is saying to the Goyim, and I also know that when you are learning and you have these revelations, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai came down, his neshama came down in the Shemayim, we're sitting to your right side. V'ari HaKadosh Mismoiloi. The Ari HaKadosh came down, we're sitting to your left side. Moiloi, this itself is just Moiloi. By the way, you know who's writing this? Abraham Elohim is writing this. That's Tamam Maisi. So Chaim Volozhin writing this, was telling us this story that he heard from the Goyim. That this Baal Megubal came, and all of a sudden he happened to know everything, and was telling the Goyim, 2 weeks ago, you darshan this and this, you were sitting in this place, it was Parshas Hazinu, you were learning that, and all the great Seudas HaTorah were revealed to you. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai was here, he even knew who came to visit. The Ari HaKadosh was here, Rav Shimon ben Yochai was here. The Kach LaYadayrish, and so on and so forth, the darshan. Hagro Hoylo Hispalas Gedoylam Azeh. He impressed the Goyim. Imagine, to impress the Goyim, it takes a bit. The Goyim had tremendous espalas. He was astonished to see the powers of this man. So Omar, and then the Goyim said, I guess as he thought a little further, looking at that person, and look at the Goyim, and this is frightening, what the Vilna Goyim said. And this is how Reb Chaim relates it. So Omar the Goyim said, Ki yesh beis derochem lodas nistores b'nei adam. There are two ways that a person has the power. Yes, you can have power. There are two sources where man can have power to know the secrets, the hidden secrets of another person. There are two separate sources that you can have that. Yishder of Kedusha. One way is through the power of Kedusha of holiness. Yizimodem noyig b'prishis yisera. A person who really lives his life, a life of precious, a life where he separates himself from tavas olam hazeh, from the desires of this world. U'peirish mekol tanug olam hazeh. He dedicates his life to service in Hashem, to avodas Hashem, and so on. Yesh lo hiskashrut, and he connects him to Harkov HaKedusha. He connects together with Yishkin HaKadosh. He becomes so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu through Kedusha. The Nichnas Bishara Kedusha Harba. And as a result, he enters all the various gates of Kedusha. So for us, if you reach that Madrega, you have the ability, Yochel HaHabit V'Lirosh, you are able to look and see what happens in the entire world, like a Novi. Masha Nasa B'chol O'Olam V'Af Masha Oysa Odom Bin Arba Kirois Beisoi. You are able to know and to see what a person does within the four walls of his house. Huroya, you're able to see like through a window, he says. K'mashiroyim derechalayim pesuch, as if you would have had an open window. That's one way, through the koyach of Kedusha. Ach yesh gam derech sheni lahavdu. But it's equally a second way where you have the same powers. Im odom miskasher b'markove hatmeo rachmano son. When a person is steeped in Tumah, you can be connected. Tumah has a power, because Baruch Hu created the balance. Kedusha has power, Tumah has power. Through koyach of Tumah, a person can do tremendous things. A person can do wondrous things. You can do maitzim through tumah as well. And if a person is connected, he's so steeped in tumah. He's miskasher, he connects b'makov atmeo. He connects himself with the various sources of tumah. Gam hu yocholilo is kemoy derech aloin. He's able to see. Because zem mul zeh oso holikim. As you know, it says in Kehelet, because Kashbocha made a balance. And after the Goyim said that, Yisayim agro, kohish hazeh, this person in front of me, He is from the Talmudic source, the Tziva Miyad L'Garshu Mebeisai, and it will matter at all. Who would know that? Only the Goyim. But sometimes you see things that impress you, you have to find out a little bit, does it come from the Shoresh of Kedusha, or does it come from the Shoresh of Tumah? The mice, a lot of it's fake anyway. By the way, there was a mice Shoresh, I have to tell you as I'm talking about it. And by the way, I don't mean to sweep everything under with the same brush, but at least a good extent of it is so. And I heard this from a Shoresh Yid. I'll mention his name. His name is the Choshev Magid. His name is Rabbi Yachmiel Tucker. Yidl lives in Yerushalayim Yerakodesh. Matter of fact, he's about Silla in Brisk in Yom Neroy. Choshev Yid, a big time Chochem, I know him personally. Down to the sick and every morning by the Kursel. So a chaver of his was diagnosed with serious machala, cancer. So as a result, of course, he went through the various refuahs. And then he also decided to go for a bracha to the stipler, which during the lifetime of the stipler. So from Yerushalayim to go to Bnei Brak, that's such a big deal, and a bracha from the stipler. So Rabbi Yerachmiel told me that he decided to go along with his friend, approach it as a friend, and they come to the stipler. Stipler gives him a bracha, and then he asks the stipler, if you're familiar, but not able to hear, very weak. You had to write on a piece of paper, but he would speak to you because he would read the question, and he was able to talk. No problem with talking. The problem was with hearing, communicating by hearing. So you'd write your question, and he would answer with his mouth. And the person wrote on the tzettel. The sick person wrote, and this again, I'm saying it. Rabbi Yerachmiel was there. He asked the stipler, "In kedai l'leches v'bala hamukubolim hasfazit," and the stipler said, "Einam yoidim miyaminam l'smoilam." So again, you don't paint them all with the same brush, but it's something to think about that you have to know again, do they b'chlal have power, and if yes, where it comes from, and so on and so forth. And that's something that you learn here again from the koiches of the great people, the Kedosh Elyonim, and certainly we have to be medabek ourselves in Kedusha, and ourselves try only to strive for Kedusha. Thank you.